girded them up in wisdom, spun the goat's hair. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We began it with thee, remembering thy Son. He must have the preeminence. But then, that preeminent Son said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And that was attempted. And again, the Word of God is to be considered this Lord's Day evening. We thank you for every occasion of the gathering together of thy people and the opening of thy Word. We rejoice in it. Let our hearts ever be hungry for thy Word. Forbid, O Lord, that word such as thee should ever depart from our lips. What a weariness it is. Our souls loathe this light matter. But let us be able to say, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts, that thy word ever be precious to us and thrilling to us, we pray. Let us know the portions that we desire to be considered this evening, and we pray that they shall be meaningful to us and precious to us. So by thy Spirit, prepare the hearts of all who are here, the men and the women, and teach us wisdom from thy word. Thou knowest our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, because we confess them, and empower lips, that the word may be spoken not in word alone, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. Bless us this evening, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It seems as if I read in a homiletical course ever so long ago that the way that you are to capture an audience is to tell them something nice. Well, what I want to do is to give you a scripture that the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes says about women, and then see if this is something nice or, well, this is what he said. He's searching, trying to understand the meaning of things. And he said he searched, and in all of his searches, he only found one man in 1,000 that met his satisfaction. He said, yet in all these men, I never found one woman. Now, is that a nice way to start out speaking about wise women? But the point is this. Whereas Ecclesiastes speaks that way in his book about the scarcity of them, please note that there was scarcity also among men. And many times you find wise women, they're in the background, and yet whenever God finds them, he does not cover their wisdom. Some say that concerning Moses and concerning Paul, that the reason he says the things that he does about women is because he is against women. He believes in the superiority of men. The truth is that if something good can be said about a man, it is said, and if something good can be said about a woman, it is said. And if there is a Jezebel in the Bible, he tells about that woman. And if there is a Blessed Virgin Mary in the Bible, he tells about her as well. If there are men who flee from our Lord, he tells about women that followed him all the way to the cross. So, it is a book of fairness. And tonight, there were four scriptures that I wanted to bring to your attention about wise women. And having read about one, I will tell you about the others, because all of these women were wise in different areas. You're liable to think that a man can only excel in this particular sphere, and a woman can excel only in this particular sphere. But that is not true. there is a variety of ways in which women are recorded as being wise in the Bible. And inasmuch as women today, even in the assemblies, are wanting to usurp a man's place, I find the men that are quite willing to tear down all the foundations that the Scripture has built up to destroy any distinction between men and women. Yet God's Word tells the sphere in which women work and the sphere in which men work. And yet, within that sphere, there are varieties of spheres in which women work. And let me give you an example. It says that in the making of the tabernacle, the women that were wise-hearted performed certain functions. How many priests were women? You say, not one. Why, of course not. God never intended a woman to be a priest. How many elders have you ever read about in the New Testament that were women? You never find such a thought entering God's mind. But there are spheres in which women function. And I said this, I do the preaching, but unless dear ones such as you get people to come out to hear the preaching, and unless you provide material things, there is no one to whom I can preach, and the scripture in 1 Corinthians 9 cannot be fulfilled. They that preach the gospel should live the gospel. So there are various functions of various ones. And here, in the building of the tabernacle, if you look at that tabernacle and you saw the fine twine linen, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the spun goat hair, and asked, who prepared those materials? There would be women that would smile and say, we did. They were quite prepared to do the task working on material and let Aaron and his son do the task of officiating as priests. It does not say that they were foolish and that Aaron was wiser. In fact, I venture to say that these women that made the materials of the tabernacle were wiser than Aaron, who listened to those rebellious Israelites when they said, up, make us gods that brought us up out of Egypt. But the Lord tells us the sphere in which they were wise, and it was wise with the working of their fingers. Now, we usually do not think that's important enough to record. We speak about preachers, eloquent men, those that are able to minister the word. We speak about Aaron and Moses, priests of God that stand in the breach. But God also records wise women that were able with their fingers to make to specification all the materials that God said were to be put in the tabernacle. And why they are to be commended is this. The tabernacle that Moses was shown was after the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. And there was wisdom in the fingers of these women to spin and prepare and put together all of these materials of the tabernacle. And Aaron would have no tabernacle in which to minister. There would be no holy place, no holy of holies, unless there were these wise women to do this task. And you never find that these women rebelled and said, let Aaron do the sinning, and we women shall be the ones that are priestesses and go into the presence of God. You never hear of such a thought arising in their hearts. Something like that only occurs in the New Testament, in the church, in which a woman named Jezebel has usurped authority, and where a man should be, a woman is, and God condemns this usurpation of authority. But here God says, these are wise women, said, work with your fingers. And I believe that if I were of the women, I would understand from God's word just what area I was to function in, and then I would use all of my wisdom to do the best I could in that area. And if God wanted me to take goat's hair and spin it, or make fine linen, or spin the blue, the purple, and the scarlet, I believe if I were a woman, I would do that and rejoice that all of the responsibilities were left upon the man. It is so easy, if you are a woman, to say to the men, you take care of that. We men are to have all the headaches to make the decision, but in this case, the women were to be told the specifications of the materials that they were to spin and color, and they were told that, and then they gave them the Bezalel and Aholiab, and these men put them together. So let us see in our hearts if we are prepared to be wise, or if we are wise, we overstep our bounds and become foolish. But from the very beginning, God speaks of wise women, and they work with their hands. Who can forget in the New Testament Dorcas? Yet, when Dorcas died, what was displayed was the things that Dorcas had made with her hand. And I wonder if I would be willing, when I died, if I were a woman, to have simply displayed the material things that I had done for my fellow man. If I could show clothing, because the Bible speaks about naked and you clothed me, hungry and you fed me. If I could look upon those that were hungry and I fed, and those that were naked and I clothed, and at the same time, the things in this building in which we gather together, not a temple, not a tabernacle, not a church, but a church building, if the women did things of that nature in building this building, then it would be enough. The women were the ones that attended to the draperies. The women were the ones, and so this is what God would say. And he doesn't want us to be wiser than that. Here I am a woman. Then am I to be wise so that I can replace Aaron in the priesthood? No, that's outside her sphere. But where am I to be wise? In working as Dorcas did with her hands, and as working as these wise-hearted women did in spinning wool and in spinning goat's hair and in contributing what God says you are permitted to contribute to the building up of this tabernacle. Now, I could go on to other areas because women are not only wise in what they do with their hands, but women also are gifted as much and perhaps more than men. The Bible does not say that women do not have the gift of prophecy and that women cannot pray, but God does limit the sphere in which they pray and they prophesy, in which they take the lead and in which they teach. But God says, outside this particular sphere, in a meeting like this, when the whole church gathers together, outside of this sphere, if a woman is covered, then the wisdom that God has given her, then she may exercise that wisdom. But God says, not here. And God says, concerning the tabernacle at this time, this is the wisdom that I put in your heart. Be satisfied with this wisdom and function in the capacity that I've gifted you. And these women did. And when they got through, the tabernacle was as God desired it to be made, and the glory of God filled that tabernacle. So, there are wise-hearted women, and I thank God for those that can work with their hands, to go to a woman who is able to do these things, and for a woman to be willing to do these things. Wise women. So, if some of you women are not able to, as Mrs. Taylor is coming down, and she's going to preach to you ladies at a woman's get-together, I wish I could do that. It may be that God hasn't given you that kind of wisdom. But the people are going to want to eat when they get to that meeting, and there are other responsibilities that the sisters can take care of. And God does not say, you have less wisdom than those who speak. God speaks about the wisdom of those that can do material things with their hands. And God even exhorts the man. He says that you work with your hands. And so it is no small thing for women that are wise with their fingers, not necessarily with their minds, but with their fingers in preparing essentials like the spun goat's hair, the fine linen, the blue, the purple, and the scarlet. You say, well then, I suppose that God never speaks of women using their minds. Oh, but he does. And so for that reason, we'll turn to 2 Samuel now. Second Samuel chapter 14. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her. So do you see? Here is the general of David's armies, and he wants something that requires wisdom to be carried out. And there was a wise woman of Tekoa, and he calls this woman, and he says, this is what I want to be done. And he teaches her, and she brings off perfectly this responsibility that Joab, the general, lays upon her. It's this way. Absalom, because of the seduction of his sister Tamar, has murdered his brother Amnon, and he fled for his life, and he stayed away 3 years. He stayed with his grandfather Talmai in Geshur. You might have wondered, why did he go to Talmai in Geshur? His mother was Maacah, and her father was Talmai. So he goes to his grandfather, and he stays there 3 years, but the general observes the loneliness, the sorrow in the heart of David, and he understands that he wants his son Absalom to come home. But he cannot bring himself to call him back. So Joab seeks out this wise woman of Tekoa, and he says, now this is what you are to do. He coaches her, and let's see what happens. Verse 4. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground, and did obeisance, and said, help, O king. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, of a truth I am a widow, and my husband is dead. And thy handmaid hath 2 sons, and they 2 strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and killed him. And behold, the whole family is risen up against thy handmaid, and they say, deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew, and so destroy the heir also. Thus will they quench my coal which is left, and will leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the face of the earth. And the king said unto the woman, go to thy house, and I will give charge concerning thee. You see, the woman was so wise that she could play act all that Joab told her to do, and with this first part of her acting, she gets the desire of her heart. Think how wise this woman was when the avenger of death is calling for the destruction of that murderous brother. And yet she goes to the king, and remember, just as our president, if he desires, he can dispense mercy and pardon. So here is the king, and this one, the avenger of blood, would seek to destroy David being the king and pardon that man. And this woman does just what Joab tells her to do, and she secures her blessing. But as she goes on and speaks more and more, I shan't tell you, finally, things begin to come to David's mind, and he said, did Joab trick you up to this? She said, yes, my lord, not a thing can be hidden from you. He told me to make these words and change the face of the matter. But the woman had been successful, and she was wise in securing mercy from the mouth of David the king. Now think of that. Even though Absalom deserved to die in one sense, still, there had been seduction, there had been violation of his sister. And so, let us say, at least, there was that justification of it. But David was hesitant after his own son Amnon had been slain by Absalom to call him back, but he wanted him back. And so this woman was able, in her wisdom and in her changing the face of the matter, with her own words, to convince David, and David says, I will do what you ask. Now, this brings to mind the same thing that happened to David when Nathan came to him. It seems as if David is an easy mark when something is camouflaged. You remember how Nathan came and spoke about this man that had one ewe lamb, and he loved it and kept it in its bosom and fed that little ewe lamb and ate from the table and the very dishes. And David is so sorrowful when he hears this sad story about the killing of the ewe lamb. And when he gets through, David cries out, the man is worthy of death. And Nathan says, you are the man. Now David has been caught again. I think I would be wary, but it's been ever so many years. And so another touching story is told David, and he says, yes, yes, your son is going to live. I'm going to pardon him. I'm going to restore him. But as he keeps talking, the woman brings to mind how David is the one who has a son, and this son is cut off, and then it all comes to David, and he says, Joab, go bring my son Absalom home. You see? That is a function of women. Women are able at times to secure mercy from the hearts of those that want to bestow it, but they do not know how to go about bestowing that mercy. That is a function of women, and it's quite in order. So, when you find something that is harsh, something that is severe, but may scripturally, I do not say unscripturally, I do not say for sentimental reasons, but scripturally may be taken care of, then at times, a woman can go and touch the heart of those who are responsible and can cause mercy to be shown to this one who, if it were left to the men themselves, mercy might not be shown. Let me give you an example. Here is one who has sinned. Suppose that younger son that went into a far country and he comes home. Do you remember the father went out and pleaded with him? He could not get that older son to come in and have joy with them because this thy brother who was dead is alive again and was lost is found. But if there were a wise woman, it may be that she would have been able to touch the heart. If the mother, God knows. But what I'm saying is that there are those ability in women. There is a wisdom in a woman to touch a man's heart and to secure something that may not be done. But if a word spoken for mercy is uttered in the proper way, and remember, this woman was a consummate actress because David never suspected in the least that she was changing the face of the matter until after it was all over, and then he understood. So we do not deceive, but as Paul said this in Corinthians, He said, one of you said, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Christ. He said, that's what you say. But you read later that they never said that. He said, now I have transferred these things to myself and others that in us. So Paul did it. He's talking to them, and later when he gets through, he says, now, it is not I of whom I'm speaking, but I've changed the face of the matter so that you are able to understand. In Romans 6, he says this. He said, I'm speaking this way because of the infirmity of your flesh. So at times, to secure mercy, a certain image like this has to be set before the eyes of those who have the power to bestow mercy, and when it's spoken in such a way, then what could be done scripturally, not unscripturally, it is facilitated and it's brought back. But be ever so hesitant in securing mercy, because the woman who was wise enough to secure the restoration of Absalom secured his restoration to the endangering of David's life. Do you remember that? And so when you're pleading for mercy for others to come back, you be sure that you're not pleading in a way that those that have taken a stand, it's not time as yet to show mercy. You be sure that it is time to show mercy. Because when Absalom came back, it seems as if his heart is filled with not only the murder of his brother Amnon, he could overlook that because of the seduction of his sister, but he is prepared to murder his father and usurp rule over the nation of Israel. And so this woman was wise. Yes, she was able to secure mercy and the restoration of Absalom, whom David loved. But having gotten him back, then there were other dangers that came upon David. So be wise. Be wise whether you say it is wisdom at this time not to secure mercy for the individual. Remember that that was what broke up the friendship of Barnabas and Paul. John Mark had failed, and Paul wanted him restored as much as Barnabas did. But Barnabas thought he should be restored too soon. And Paul said, not yet. And they could not come to an agreement. And because of that, there was a sharp contention among them. And there was a break between these two dear servants of God. So be careful. When you're calling for mercy, be sure that it is time, that there has been sufficient punishment, as it says in 2 Corinthians, sufficient is the punishment unto such a one. Do not be calling for mercy unless there is repentance. And for all that David knew and for all that we knew at that time, there was sufficient repentance in the heart of Absalom, because when Absalom came home, he fell upon his feet at the face of his father David. And his father kissed Absalom, his son. And then they drew nearer and nearer together. But think of this woman later on who secured the restoration of Absalom, and then she sees that Absalom is trying to murder her king, David, the one loved of God, and she would say, it was my wisdom that brought this man back, and she would have reflections and second thoughts upon the wisdom that she had used to secure mercy. Yes, women can secure mercy. It may be good. It may not be good. You decide. You have wisdom enough in the use of your wisdom. Now, chapter 20. Verse 1. And there happened to be there a base fellow whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet and said, we have no portion in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tent, so Israel. And so Absalom had taken away Israel from David, and now they are coming back to David, and now Sheba, the son of Bichri, is ready to take Israel away from David again. When it happens, Joab, he was this general again. he goes out to take care of the matters. And to abbreviate the story, he chases him over Israel until he comes to the city. Look at verse 14. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel. And now Sheba is in this city, and it's surrounded. And verse 15 says, they were with Joab, battered the wall to throw it down. Now, then, verse 16, cry a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And he came near unto her. And the woman said, art thou Joab? And he said, I am. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thy handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they were accustomed to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. Think of this. She is in a city where, if questions arose, they would come and there was wisdom in that city. And when the problem was put to them, when they got through getting their answer, the matter was resolved. That's what you say. Now, this is that woman of that city. They surely asked counsel at Abel, and so they ended the matter. Verse 19. I am of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. And he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. You see, when you have a problem, you bring it to Abel, and the problem is resolved. And so the problem is this. You are harboring a man in your city that is against the king. The woman said, no problem at all. Do you want him? And this woman in her wisdom goes in and so fires up the people that they take the man and cut off his head and throw it over the wall and say, now, the matter is resolved. Go your way. Now, here is a woman who is wise not for mercy, but for justice, you see. You say, oh, women are wise for justice. Oh, yes, you see. They're not only women that say, this requires mercy, but they're also women that have discernment enough to see, this is going to require the death of this one man, that the whole city be preserved, and this man is guilty. And many times, there are women who speak to their husbands, those that are in authority, and they say, don't you understand that the only resolve of this problem is like the resolution of that wise woman of Abel is going to take his head. And some people are not prepared to cut off the head of Abel and throw it over the wall. And so what happens? You'll find that Joab comes with his battering rams and tears down the wall and destroys the whole city. Now, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 5. In that city, they have incest. And this incest demands that that wicked man be put away from among you. And that's the last thing he says. Put away that wicked man from among you. Now, in that city, at Corinth, in that church, it says, and you were puffed up, and you had not rather mourned that he that has done this thing might be put away from you. He said, this is what you are to do. You are to deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You see something similar? Now, there are some that are puffed up. But Paul said, you should have mourned that he that had done this thing might be put away from you. And so what happens? There is the tolerance of a woman in the church in Revelation 2. And God says, if you do not get rid of that woman who has usurped authority of a man, I'm going to destroy her and I'm going to kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know the kind of God I am. And so let these things come in. And do not have a wise woman like this woman of Abel that knows what to do. A woman like this one would say, Jezebel has to go. And in the church at Corinth, she would say, this incestuous brother has to go. Whereas the others are saying, oh, we're not going to send them out. Oh, let us extend long suffering and let us endure this one. Let's put up with him. God says, put away the man. And the requirement of this one that is risen up against the king and would split the nation and take the tribes of Israel away from David, the requirement was this, I want that man. And the woman said, you want that man? She said, the solution is simple. And she went in and inspired these individuals to have courage to cut off that man's head and throw it over the wall. And then the city was saved. Now, if you do not have wise ones, and they will tolerate a Jezebel or a Sheba, then you'll find that the city is destroyed and the assembly is destroyed. But here it's not wisdom, the wisdom of men, but it is the wisdom of women that secures the safety of the city and also the restoration of Absalom. And the wisdom in 2 Corinthians 2 is this. Just as there must be fervency in getting rid of the evil, when there is a confession and a turning from the evil, there should be just as much fervor in restoration when the sin has been sufficiently punished and been parted from, then that one should be restored. But in the case of this man, poor Sheba, when his head is cut off, there is no restoration. But in the case of Absalom, when he was exiled, he can come back. And this, briefly, turn to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, because I've seen this, and I dislike it, and yet I know it's true. Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come and send for, now it says cunning in the King James, but the word is the identical word that I read to you in Exodus chapter 35, wise women. It is wise, skillful, cunning. It can be with their fingers. It can be with their minds, as the wise woman of Tekoa and the wise woman of Abel, or here, it can be skillful with their voices. And it says, call for the mourning women, and they, that they may come and send for the skillful women, that is, the cunning, wise women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids may gush out with waters. You see, there are wise women that know how to work on your emotions and make you cry. And sad to say, women can get up at times and sing, and in spite of yourself, you'll find your emotions stirred. And God says that is essential. Because of time, I cannot tell you these things. But you may read in the book of Ezekiel, and there had better be tears and sorrows in the hearts of us today that would depart from the ways of God. Because God in Ezekiel says, call for those that are going to take care of my judgment. And six men come. And there was a man in linen with an ink horn by his side and a pen. He says, now you go through Jerusalem and note every man that is sighing and that is crying for all the abominations of Israel. Put them off on his forehead. And he said, now that you put them off on the head, the forehead, of those that are sighing for the abominations and crying because of the sins of Israel, He said to the other men with the battle axes, you go through and you destroy everyone who doesn't have a mark on his forehead. And so all of you who are not concerned about what is happening to the Church of Jesus Christ today, you remember that God may be looking for marks on our heads, those that have shed tears or whose hearts have been touched, that sigh, that are concerned for the condition that the Church of Jesus Christ is in today. Because it may very well be that those that are unconcerned, that have untouched hearts, they are the ones that shall be destroyed. And in this case, Jeremiah says, call for the women and let them get us started. And so at times we can start weeping and wailing. Why? Because if I did this, suppose I went, oh, you see people yawn, and the next thing you know, you're yawning, and you see people start laughing, and in spite of yourself, you'll start laughing, and then you'll see somebody crying, and the next thing you know, you're crying. And so the Lord says in Jeremiah 9, there are professional wise women that can do these things. And so is it possible that there are those that have that ability without artifice? With their voices, they can cause us to be sorrowful because of all the sins and shortcomings that are in our midst. Well, God knows. But these are four areas in which women can be wise with their fingers and with their minds for mercy and for justice, but also with their voices to stir up our hearts, our emotions, that we may shed tears, and perhaps a mark will be put on our foreheads, and when the judgment of God comes, God may spare us. Thank God for wise women. Let us pray. Our Father, we do give thee thanks that you tell us the dangers of women, the wisdom of women, how it is good for a man not to be alone. It is not good. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. We thank you for the truth of thy word. And we thank you for all the wise women that are in our church today. Those that are wise enough to know their relationship to men, and the men that are wise enough to know their relationship to Jesus Christ. And in their wisdom, they are prepared to accept it. So, Father, raise up wise women among us. And let them use that wisdom in the proper sphere. And let them also know when to use it to obtain mercy and when not, and also when to obtain justice along the channels that they are allowed to function in thy word. So we thank you for these wisdom, our Father, these wise women. We thank you for their wisdom, and we pray that we men shall listen to it, as God told Abraham to listen to Sarah the second time when he said, drive out the bondwoman and her son. They shall not